Thanks. Kelly, appreciate that. Glad you're here tonight. Glad you've come to join us in this special series of lessons that we're engaged in. We're going to continue tonight and wanted to talk about a passage found in actually 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you take your Bibles and turn there, that's where we'll actually begin tonight. Appreciate you taking the time and joining us, being with us this evening. Some have traveled here. Some are members of this congregation locally. We appreciate you being here as well. In the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, there is actually the continuation of a thought that began in the third chapter that he is talking about, the Apostle Paul writing about the glory of the new covenant. We're Christ's epistle as we live here on this earth and the things that we do in our life. And he talks about the new covenant and the specialness of that new covenant, the glory of that new covenant. When we get into chapter 4, note with me as we begin in verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In this beautiful opening here in the fourth chapter, the glory of the new covenant as it is compared especially to the passing or the fading glory of the old covenant, as he talked about Moses and the veil that was put upon Moses as he came down from the mountain because they could not look at him. That this is an unveiled gospel. This is a beautiful and unveiled gospel that he is going to talk to us about and reveal to us. And he says that this gospel shined, the light shined out of darkness, verse 6, and it shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7, the next verse. It says, but we have this treasure, that is the treasure of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. That we have it in earthen vessels. He said, the gospel has been given, it's been handed to us, it's been given to us in the form of here we are, just earthen vessels. We're just clay pots is all that we are. And he says, the gospel has been given unto us. Now that's an amazing thing if you think about it. If you give that some consideration, it's an amazing thing that God entrusted the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to frail human beings. I mean, God had all kinds of things at his disposal. God could have written it on the clouds and every morning when you woke up that you walked outside and you could look at and you could see where God had written the words that he wanted you to know and to live by. He could have preserved them, put them up there on the clouds every single morning. He could have shown it on the side of a mountain and we had to travel to a certain place and here it was inscribed on the side of a mountain and you and I had to make this pilgrimage and journey to whatever place that was. Then read the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the side of a mountain. Could have made us do it that way. He could have sent angels every day to audibly announce it. He had thousands of things at his disposal as to what he could do. Options that were just a myriad of options for us. But he entrusted human beings with the continuance or the spread and the housing, the holding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not discounting the word that he's written, but I'm talking about what Paul's talking about here. He has entrusted this message to us, those apostles especially of the first century. He's entrusted that message to earthen vessels. Clay pots are the ones who are the ones to carry on this work. Now, this passage that's on the screen in front of you in Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Let me just address this question a little bit this evening as we start out. First of all, what is man? Let's talk about this for just a moment. There are some interesting things we could look at in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that when God made this whole creation process, when He started that, in Genesis 2, 7, and in case you want to follow along the YouVersion, it's under the events, you could, under Market Street here, it's listed on the YouVersion again. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now what God did is God scooped up some dust and dirt, as it were, or as somebody recently said to me, it wasn't even dirt, it was dust, which is an even smaller particle than dirt. That God scooped up the dust and he formed man, he formed the human being. And then there was this corpse-like figure that was laying there that God had created and formed out of the dust. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But when you go back to it and you look at the very foundational aspect of who we are, man is just dust. That's what we are. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible tells us that man had a responsibility, and it's important to note this even is before the fall. Sometimes we think that work was a part of the curse that God gave. Man already had relationship and responsibility to work in the garden, tend the garden. Work was already there. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, God told man to work till you return to the ground, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You see, we're just, that's all that man is. Man is our physical side, our physical being, we are just dust that God has gathered up and created and made us into these human beings. And then, again, in Psalm 103 and verse 14, beautiful thought that when we go through our struggles, when we go through our trials, when we face situations, when you go through challenges in your life, it's impressive and it's heartening to know that He knows our frame. God knows you. He knows who you are. In fact, we'd say that He even knows what you're made out of. That God knows us. He remembers that we are just dust. You see, it's important for us to recognize, first of all, what is man? Man is just dust that's been gathered up. Or as one writer said, that we are just dust and mud that has been baked hard in a kiln. We're just clay pots is all we are. We're just dust that God gathered up and formed and made into this physical being that we see. So what is man? What is man that God would create us in such a way? You know, the greatest heroes that we can read about in Scripture, the greatest heroes that there are, it is clearly evident to us that all of them too are just dust. You consider Noah, the great man who Noah was. Noah is commissioned by God. He stands out head and shoulders above everybody in his generation, everybody in the world. And God commissions him to build this great ship and to save mankind. And Noah follows through and does exactly as God wants him to do, labors intensively, builds this boat, does all that God tells him to do, gathers his family. God sends the animals, gathers them into this boat. He's in the boat for almost a year, right about a year that he's in this boat, following God, doing what God's told him to do. And then later we learn that Noah gets drunk. He's a man of dust. Abraham, the patriarch of Judaism, this hallmark character of faith. Abraham was a man who followed God, trusted God, believed God, and gave his life over to the Lord. And yet, Abraham doubted God's provisions, and he lied to protect himself and tried to make a different story altogether so as to protect himself rather than trusting himself to God. Moses leads Israel. Moses does phenomenal things to to bring about the salvation of Judaism and the people of God, and delivers them out of Egyptian captivity and brings them right up to the brink of the promised land. And yet Moses disobeys God, and in anger he strikes the rock that God had told him to speak to. David, who we've already talked about this week, fearlessly leads Israel in victory after victory after victory. He has slain his 10,000s, the people cry out. He's a tremendous leader. And yet, because of that one inch, that he didn't give himself fully and completely and devotedly to God in that moment, he commits adultery with Bathsheba. He has her husband killed. He goes through all of it. He's a man of dust. And Peter, as we talked about Sunday morning, Peter, who said, I will die with you before I would ever stumble, before I will denounce you. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter was a man of dust. At best, we're all just clay pots, all of us. That's the best that we can say of ourselves before God, that we are just clay pots. He remembers, God remembers, Psalm 103. He remembers our frame. He knows that we're just dust. But there are some really important things to learn about clay pots. I want to suggest to you a couple tonight as we look at this. First of all, let me just start out with you and tell you that clay pots are very ordinary. You can find them all over the place. Go to Walmart, find some. Go to Fred Meyer, find some. Go to Lowe's, Home Depot. They got clay pots everywhere. You can find them all over the place. Big ones, little ones, gigantic ones. They're just everywhere. Paul's critics attacked him that they said of him in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10 of the Apostle Paul. His letters, they said, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. And Paul himself didn't deny it. Two chapters later, chapter 12 and verse 9, he said, I'll most gladly boast in my infirmities. Paul recognized he was a man of dust. His critics recognized he was a clay pot. He was a man of dust. Whether it was his looks, maybe it was a physical defect that he had, maybe it was his inability to, as far as oratory skills, or maybe it's a combination of all these things. Maybe it's his eyesight. People have suggested all kinds of things about Paul. Maybe it's a combination of all that. Maybe it's more. But Paul knew that he was no different than anyone else. He humbly remembered that before he had become a Christian, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, formerly I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man. Paul recognized that he was a clay pot. He was an ordinary man. He was no different. He wasn't above or better than the other ones around him. Clay pots are ordinary. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 1 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to look with me, dropping down a little bit later in that chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning verse 26. You know, you may feel that there's nothing really very special about you. You're not gifted in that way. You see somebody and you say, well, I don't look as good as them. I don't sound as good as them. I can't speak as well as them. Listen to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see, there's nothing special about you. there's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about Paul. We're all ordinary. We're all just clay pots. Now, rather than that be a discouraging thing, what that actually should do for us is to recognize that we're all on the same level. We're all on par with one another. There's an ordinary nature about us, but God says, I recognize that. I know that's there. I know who you are. Verse 31, he says, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. God says, there are people who are skilled and talented or beautiful and gifted. There's no question about that. But we're all just ordinary clay pots. We're all the same. We're all on that same level. So the time that you feel like that you don't have it, you just aren't able to do anything, well, join the club, because that's where we all are. I don't know if you've ever heard of the halo effect. The halo effect is a name that's been given to those beautiful people who live around us, and we see, and they're on TV or whatever the case is. And there's all kind of studies been done about the halo effect. That if you're that beautiful, attractive person, that doors are open for you, opportunities are there, and they're all waiting. And so you may feel like, I don't have that gift. I'm not blessed with the halo effect. Well, again, join the club. That's who we all are. We're all ordinary people. Those who have those gifts, those beautiful people that exist, you have beauty about you that's far different maybe than them. Theirs may be seen in the way that they walk, the way they stand, the way that they look for a moment, but God says, we're all just normal, ordinary people. But let me move on to this second point, and that is that clay pots are useful. They're useful for a lot of things. Paul was not, neither are we, just a decorative clay pot that just hangs around or just sits around. Paul recognized it was something for him to do. He's ordinary, yes, but there's things that he could do, and there are things that we can do. He wasn't just like a piece of fine china. See, we're earthen pots. We're clay pots. Fine china we take and we display, and we put it up on a shelf, and we put a piece of glass in front of it so we can look and we can admire that. But Paul makes a point that we're really actually very useful people. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We were in chapter 1 a moment ago. Look in chapter 12 and drop down to verse 12 of that. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all of the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And now he's going to explain it a little bit. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And, he says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all of the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all of the members are honored with him. And there's other passages we could look at that show that everybody has a part. Everybody has a role. Everybody has something to do. You see, you may be an ordinary clay pot in God's kingdom, but clay pots are useful. And clay pots have something that they're to do. And this is what he's talking about here. You might say, well, I'm not the head, or I'm not the hand, I'm not the foot, I guess I'm just not that important. I guess I'm not part of the body because I can't do this, or I'm not that. And really what Paul is saying, no, it takes all of those parts to make a body. If there were one giant eyeball standing up here talking to you, where's the body in that? There's no body. If everything were an eye, he says, that's just not possible. Our hero should be the person that's mentioned for us, the lady in Mark chapter 14 and verse 8. It simply says that she has done what she could. What a great motto to have. That I'll do what I can. I may be an ordinary clay pot in God's kingdom. I'm just an earthen piece of dust that's been brought together and formed into a human being. But I'll do what I can do. I may not be able to do this. I may not be able to, but I'll do what I'm able to do. She's our hero. She did what she was able to do, and Jesus commends her for that. You may not be a skilled teacher, but some of you are. Some of you are skilled teachers. Some of you are great cooks. Some of you are mechanically inclined. Some of you have great technical skill and knowledge and whatever it is, wherever you could fit into that. Some of you are great administrators. And you can get things organized and you can lay things out. And others are, that's not their skill, that's not their gift. Well, find what you can do and make that and use that in that way. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is an admonition for us at verse 6 beginning. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, I don't think he's talking about miraculous spiritual gifts here. I think he's talking about non-miraculous gifts that we all have, that we've been gifted by God. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy or preaching, teaching, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry or service, let us use it in ministry. He who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You see, what you and I need to do is find where we're gifted and do what we're able to do. And use our ordinary clay potness in service and in honor and glory to God. Let me make a third point, and that is that clay pots are sturdy. In archaeological digs that have been done, unearthing places that are thousands of years old, they still find clay pots completely intact. They've been there, they've been used, they've been buried, they've been covered over, and some of them still remain completely intact because they're sturdy. Now, there's a fragility about it, there's no question, but there are some that have continued to remain. And I think there's a point here that all of us, even though we're clay pots, even though we're dust, that we can hold up under a lot of stress, a lot of pain, a lot of pressure, a lot of trouble. Some of you have seen it. Some of you have gone through it yourself. I know some of your stories through the years that I've known of you and known of this group. And if you had started out on the beginning, the front side, and said, boy, I don't know if I could ever make it through if this ever happened to me, if this happened to somebody in my family, if this happened to a loved one of mine, I don't know if I could make it through. And then you do make it through. And you come out on the other side a stronger person as a result of that, because clay pots are sturdy. Look at this passage with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just look at a little bit about what Paul endured. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and drop down in your reading to verse 24. Apostle Paul says, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Now, if we just stop right there, I'm just guessing. If any of us were called out and said, okay, we're going to put you in front of a group of people, and we've got a professional torturer over here who pulls out his whip, and he's going to lacerate your back 39 times with this whip. How many of you think you really could endure that? I mean, most of us would say, I mean, there's just no way I could make it through. Paul said, I've endured that five times. That's happened to me. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. In fact, on one occasion, we find that Paul was stoned and left for dead. They thought he was dead. He was so abused. Three times I was shipwrecked. a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the city, sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides all of these other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. Now, Paul endured all of that. That's one man who went through all of that. And he still held up. He still was able to continue and to remain. Look back at chapter 4 where we started, 2 Corinthians 4, our original text. Listen what he says again at verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Now listen as he goes on to say it, verse 8. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Paul said, you want to talk about troubles and woes and problems and trials? I've gone through this. I've faced this. I've had this challenge. I've been at this point, but I didn't give up. I faced this challenge, but I wasn't crushed. I just didn't completely crumble under that, because clay pots can be sturdy. And then let me leave you with this tonight, and that is that there are many more clay pots. Ultimately, clay pots are replaceable. You know, you can go down to Fred Meyer, Walmart, you can buy a 6-inch clay pot for a dollar or two, and that may fall off the edge of the table, and it may then shatter into 50 pieces. But really, that's not a make or break deal. Dollar or two, we can go down, we can replace it fairly easily. I want to tell you what, the clay pots, you and me, we're replaceable. I don't say that to discourage you, but really it's said to show that the power of God is what's on display. Because as Paul is really pointing out for us, it's not about Paul. And it's not about me, and it's not about you, and it's not about any of these other people around us. It's all about the wondrous glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has entrusted the gospel to us as just earthen beings of clay pots of dust. That is so that when my time comes, that I pass and I leave this world, it's not all over and done. That God's work, God's will, God's gospel continues to carry on. It continues to go on from this place. See, the reason I know that is Paul died about 2,000 years ago. And here we are tonight, 2,000 years later, thousands of miles from where he ever lived, and we're talking about him. And we're talking about the very things that he wrote and told us about this very truth, that the gospel has been entrusted to individuals. I can think of some wonderful Christian people who have been a tremendous blessing in my life, who have changed me and helped me in a number of ways. Think about Truman Runner, who was here for many, many years, and the encouragement that he continued to give. I can still picture him where he sat and what he would say to me, and the things he had said to many others as well. The encouragement he gave to my wife from the time she was young when she first moved here. I can think of Elaine Simmons and thought of her today, and the encouragement and the joy and the happiness that she spread to people. And her encouragement over and over and over. I think about Nick Furr. And I remember I've used him as an example many times through the years. I don't know what his age was. He seemed when I was here in the training program. He seemed like he was a very elderly man at the time. He was somewhat stooped over a little bit, had big, gnarled hands. And I'd come into the office and I'd hear the lawnmower, and very slowly and very meticulously, Brother Furr was out there pushing the lawnmower, mowing the yard, and many other things that he did. I think about Keith and Frieda Beeman, who used to sit right up here. And I think about Bob Brown. I think about different ones in this congregation. I think about people who've affected me in other places. Ralph Walker Sr., a man who helped me and my family. Marjorie Robinson, a dear sister who lost two husbands and yet was a tremendous encouragement to people over and over and over again in Lakeland where we live. Brother Homer Haley, his writings. Rosalita Reagan up in Bremerton, Washington. Welton Lockhart, one of our elders who passed in Ocala very recently. I can think of all of these men, all of these women, and the good and godly lives that they lived. And yet the work still continues and it still goes on, even though they've passed on. Because ultimately, clay pots are replaceable. There are more clay pots. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul passes it on to Timothy, the truths of God's Word. And then he tells Timothy, you pass this on to others who can pass it on to others who can pass it on. The idea is that it's entrusted to us. The gospel has been given to us for us to share it with other people. Because it's not about a bunch of clay pots. It's not about a bunch of clay pots. Because in reality, it's all about the power and the glory of God. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves, is what Paul said. You see, God should receive all of the glory. He's the one who makes it all possible. It's not me, it's not the elders here, it's not anybody else that's ever stood so head and shoulders maybe above others, but it's God. So let me close by saying this tonight. I think for too long, we've focused on our own clay potness, actually. We've focused on our own frailties, our own weaknesses, our own inabilities. Rather than, as this scripture says, that it's not of us, it is all of the glory of God, or the power, the excellence may be of the power of God and not of ourselves. We too long have placed it on our own shoulders. And we've thought about us and what we can't do. Well, I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to do that. I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough for that. I don't have enough ability for this or that or the other. We need to stop that kind of thinking and entrust ourselves to the power and the glory of God and let Him do His work through us. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about the glory of God. And when we believe that, and when we trust in that, and when we follow that, God can do amazing things. He can do amazing things through you. Yes, even you, even though you're just dust, even though you're just a clay pot, God can use you in amazing ways and do amazing and powerful things if we'll let Him. So before we leave this evening, I want to suggest to you that God has offered to you that great an amazing gift, that through His power, not through your inabilities, not through your weakness, not through your dust, but because Jesus came to this earth and He lived a perfect life. He took on dust. He took on the form of a man. But He did it perfectly. He did it absolutely perfectly. He lived a life without sin. And Jesus went to the cross because of the hatred, the violence, the arrogance of the people of His day. They didn't like what He had to say, but Jesus went as the perfect Lamb of God, a sacrifice, because you can't do it and I can't do it without Him. You're too weak. I'm too weak. But through our belief in Him and our faith to turn our life around, Jesus tells us that if we'll repent upon that faith and be baptized, that the Bible just makes that beautiful statement, as we've talked about already, that you're a brand new creation, a whole new person. You're raised up out of that water to walk in newness of life, Paul said in Romans. And so, if you're not a Christian, it would be a thrill for us tonight. It'd be a thrill for those who are here. You say, well, I'm not sure. I don't really understand enough. I've got some questions. Well, that's good that you've got questions. God never looks down on questions. If you're a seeking soul, a heart who wants to know, talk to somebody here tonight. They'd love to sit down with you, open up the Word of God, try to find answers for you. Whatever would be the best time for you, the most convenient. But maybe you say, I know that's what I need to do. I know I need to give myself to God tonight. And we'd be thrilled to do that tonight, to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all your sins. If we could do that tonight, if we could help you or serve you, we'd ask you to come forward and let us know while together we stand and sing this song.